This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. AP correspondent Sagar Magani reports Ukraine's top military commander says his forces now control nearly 400 square miles of Russian region after a highlighting or lightning incursion that has embarrassed Moscow.
The remarks during a briefing for President Volodymyr Zelensky marked the first time a Ukrainian military official publicly commented on gains in the Kursk region. Russian forces are still scrambling to respond to the stunning attack that started last week, the biggest on their soil since World War II. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Iran rejected a call Tuesday after Germany, France, and Britain Monday called for a Gaza ceasefire as Israel braces for a large-scale attack. The urgent push for a truce comes amid fears of a wider regional conflict with Iran and its proxies as ceasefire talks are set to resume later in the week. Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem joined VOA's Flashpoint on Monday.
These are being called sort of last-ditch talks that, you know, if they don't get an agreement soon, there won't be an agreement. But again, that's a lot of posturing. Originally, I think the thought was that Iran would hold off until after these talks to see if anything was going to come out of it. And that, for some reason, has changed.
Iran's president Tuesday told Britain's prime minister that Tehran considers retaliation against Israel over the July killing of a Hamas official a right and a way to discourage future aggression. A suspected attack by Yemen's Houthi rebels targeted a ship in the southern reaches of the Red Sea early Tuesday, according to officials. It is the latest in their campaign of assaults over the Israel-Hamas war. The attack comes as Yemen's main sponsor, Iran, weighs the possibility of retaliatory attacks against Israel. Already, the Houthis have disrupted the $1 trillion of goods that flow annually through the maritime route. This is VOA News. AP correspondent Norman Hall reports the FBI says it is investigating after the Trump campaign said sensitive documents were hacked by Iran.
The FBI has confirmed that it's investigating allegations that sensitive documents from the Trump campaign were stolen in a cyber intrusion days after the campaign declared it had been hacked by Iran. The campaign provided no specific evidence of Iran's involvement, but the claim came shortly after Microsoft issued a report detailing foreign agents' attempts to interfere in the U.S. campaign in 2024. The report cited an instance of an Iranian military intelligence unit in June sending a spear phishing email to a high-ranking official of a presidential campaign from a compromised email account of a former senior advisor. Iran's mission to the United Nations denied being involved. I'm Norman Hall.
Donald Trump recounted his assassination attempt in detail and promised the largest deportation in U.S. history during a high-profile return to the social media platform formerly known as Twitter. The conversation with X's owner Elon Musk was plagued by technical glitches. The rare public conversation was overwhelmingly friendly and revealed little new about Trump's plans for a second term. Talks to end Sudan's 16-month war between the Army and the paramilitary rapid support forces will move forward this week. That's according to the U.S. Special Envoy, despite little sign from either side that they seek a peaceful resolution.
We would have preferred for these talks to start in April when we began trying for this round, if not April, May, if not May, June, then July. But we will move forward with this event this week.
The U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan, Tom Perriello, in Geneva on Monday. The Sudanese army has all but rejected the invitation, while the RSF has continued its costly offensives in parts of the country, despite welcoming the U.S. and Saudi initiative. Failure of efforts to bring the war to an end would exacerbate a conflict that has created the world's largest humanitarian crisis, pushing 10 million people out of their homes and creating famine-like conditions across the country. The pilot of the plane that crashed down in Brazil last week has been buried in Sao Paulo, becoming the first person laid to rest among the 62 victims as authorities continue working to determine what caused that accident. A hearse bearing the casket of Danilo Santos Romano rolled through the streets of Penha, a working-class region of Sao Paulo's east side, en route to the cemetery that lies beneath his apartment. Family members and friends walked behind the vehicle, and dozens of shop owners who knew him as a regular customer gathered on the sidewalks to applaud as it passed by. He was 35. I'm Tommy.